Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Play. Does that worry you at all, Nasher?
I mean, yes. Anytime you have an offensive lineman down, it's a huge problem. My New England Patriots are dealing with it. Isaiah Wynn's been hurt. I mean, David Andrews, their center's hurt. He hasn't played all year. He's not going to play. Maybe that's a product of why the Patriots are playing so bad. Mm-hmm. Everything in football starts with an offensive line. I mean, I listen to sports talk everywhere. I listen to Colin Cowherd show. He had Eric Dickerson on, and Eric Dickerson talked about how when he was with the Rams, everything was bright and sweet. And then when he went to the Colts,
you're a big Doug Gottlieb guy.
You are, huh?
No, not really.
You guys have those similar takes.
No, I don't really get a chance to listen to a lot of those shows because I'm working here, but I do see videos pop up and I hear those. But Eric Dickerson talked about his time with the Rams was a million times better than his time with the Colts, and it was specifically because of the offensive line.
Yeah,
not necessarily because of talent or injuries or availability, just scheme and everything. So when you're talking about losing guys that have chemistry in a complex scheme like Kyle Shanahan's, that's going to be troublesome. But I do have an updated list on MVP odds for you.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, Jimmy G does not crack the top five.
Wow. That's a surprise to me.
He's sixth, though.
Okay. All right.
He's sixth. Right. Lamar Jackson, one. Russell Wilson, two. Deshaun Watson, three. How do we walk over that?
Yeah, we missed Deshaun. But he's played bad the last couple weeks.
Well, they played bad.
They had a big game
Patriots,
against the Patriots.
And then
right?
an ugly one.
Yeah.
Shout out Drew Locke.
Ugh.
Shout out Drew
not
Locke.
Not a believer. Never really have been.
Yeah, my girl Whit, producing us tonight, is wearing her Mizzou shirt
she
today.
Is, yeah.
My grandma lives in Missouri. I represent Missouri whenever
gotcha.
I can.
You big Kelly Bryant.
Drew Locke was great there. He struggled his senior year, so he fell. Broncos might have found a hidden gem there.
Another Did Elway guy this, find his guy?
I hope so. Did you ever hear that theory on what they say about Elway and his QBs?
No.
He's purposely trying to not find the next great Bronco quarterback so he can always live on as the last good Bronco quarterback.
That's what I would do.
100%.
That's what I would do.
100%. I always want to be the best one doing it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why it's like, hey, Nash is great at radio, but like, let's be honest, like, not that great.
Then we have Pat Mahomes on that list. I think just because I am used to him doing this, I don't think of him being in that category, that conversation. And then we have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that's those two at the bottom where I can easily, I feel like, make the argument that Jimmy deserves to be over Rodgers and Pat Mahomes, just because Pat's missed some time. Pat's been amazing, amazing football player. I love watching him play. I think if you were to reorder that top six, you could easily go Lamar, Russ. I think you could put Jimmy at three, honestly, then Deshaun Watson, then Pat, then Aaron Rodgers. That's how my six would go.
And I think it's fair. I think another thing, too, about Jimmy G and the MVP conversation, I mean, I mentioned earlier, recency.
People for texting in, like, we all agree that Lamar Jackson deserves to be the MVP. But the fact that you think about it, Jimmy Garoppolo is now even, the fact that we're talking about him being in the conversation where last year this guy came off ACL surgery, we had no idea the type of player he would be. At times earlier in the season, he looked like maybe this guy is not the franchise quarterback. He's had those blips across his career multiple times. But to take a team from, 4-12 last season to where they are this time this year, it's been incredibly impressive. And let's be honest, Nasher, we're breaking this down into an individual award where the 49ers' success is not built on one individual player. They are probably one of the more complete teams in the NFL, where I think guys like Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, guys like that, all are kind of in this conversation favored over Jimmy G because their individual effort is so important to their team, where Jimmy Garoppolo can play a bad game and the 49ers still win because they are so complete.
And, you know, Tommy, we have the text line lighting up. A lot of people disagreeing. Some people agreeing. Everyone on the text line, if you have a take, please call in. We'd love to debate this with you.
We're getting a lot of people.
Yeah, if you have a bone to pick with us on our opinions on Jimmy G, I'm
my
ready.
Opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to debate because, you know, I feel like we're making fair assessments on Jimmy Garoppolo right now.
Yeah.
And that number is 888-957-9570. If you want to keep texting the Chilton Audible text line, 95795.
Shout out to Sonoma State, someone from the 408. Let's go Seawolves, baby.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out Seawolves. We're going to stay on this Niner topic. We're also going to get into some Warriors, Tommy, because there's a lot of questions surrounding this team, and I know everybody watched that game last night, and they watched the games against the Knicks. That was a complete debacle. That's all on the other side. He's Tommy Call. I'm Nash Shalom, and this is 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here are your hosts, Nash Solomon and Tommy Call.
Finishing strong here on 95.7 The Game. We got you until 8. No more breaks. We're going all the way to the top here, me and Tommy. We got my guy Bobby in the back. We got Witt over there. They're holding it down for us. And we've been talking a lot of Niners all show, Tommy.
Yeah.
We've been hitting
we're
everything.
We're football guys, baby.
We're football guys. Football guys, and management says we have to talk about that. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's obviously it's a huge story right now. The Niners literally went from worst to first in the matter of a year, and it's a phenomenal story. But in the opposite side of that, Tommy, we have the other team in the Bay that went from first to worst. And I think it's something that we need to discuss because there's a lot to unpack with this. And that team is
the Golden State Warriors.
And it's been a tough year. And it's not like this team is an awful basketball team. They're just down a lot of bodies. Now the guys that are physically able to play, they're an awful basketball team.
I think it's a little bit of a mixture of that. I mean, let's be honest, Nasher. A lot of these guys are into the bench pieces.
Yeah,
there's a lot of inexperience, and I think the fact that they're in these games playing the Utah Jazz down the wire, having a lead in Utah against the Jazz, a team that's probably going to make the playoffs, things like that. That's all positive signs, and I think a lot of that is to do with Steve Kerr's coaching. I think we've seen the biggest step in Steve Kerr's career when it comes to coaching. I'm a firm believer that this guy can get it done. I understand at times, you know, I was arguing with Butcher Boy this week about Kerr, you know, in-game decisions, things like that, all the time. And I believe in the guy. I really do, and I think a lot of it is because of this season.
Yeah, and it's just the lost year. They're not completely done. Like, once they get these guys back, they can run it back. I don't know if they're a contender again, but I'll tell you what, they're not going to be on pace to win 17 wins next year.
Yeah.
It'll be way, way past that. I will say this, though, about you mentioned thing about Steve Kerr. This is a year that's going to show us more than we've ever known about Steve Kerr. I was talking to Whitley before the show, and she made a great point. Not only this year, but in coming years, this is really a test of Steve Kerr to really change how this team's playing. You can't play the way you've played the last few years with whoever's coming up next. I mean, it's the whole thing about D'Angelo Russell. Do you keep him? Do you trade him? Like, we don't know how much is left in the tank with these exact guys. So do you start to, I mean, they're obviously going to have a top pick. Are you going to draft the guy that's going to fit in right away? What's the Austin that you're going to run? It's still going to be predicated around ball movement and shooting the three ball. Are you going to start playing fast? Are you going to slow the game down? There's so many things that we just don't know, but it's honestly really interesting. Because, I mean, which one of these guys is going to be here next year? Is Pascal going to be worth starting next year? Do you think he's a sixth man? Is he a rotation guy? Do you still need to see more?
That's been the biggest thing for me about this year, and I think everybody is so quick to praise Pascal, and I don't think that's a bad thing. The guy's been phenomenal. But me personally, and I watch this team play every single night, I don't think I've missed one game this season. Granted, it's part of my job, so it's not like this team's must watch like they used to be. But anyways, Eric Pascal, the
is
development.
Is it bad that I force myself to still watch every game? Even if I miss it, I go rewatch it again.
Hashtag basketball guy.
Basketball guy.
Basketball slash football guy. Basketball first, then football.
Sports guy.
Oh, wow. With a Z?
Nah, because I'll be honest, I don't watch tennis and all that.
Ah, you're missing tennis. Now, you got everything else, but tennis is the one you're sitting out on.
Hold on, I got to read this text from the 707. It's so straightforward, but it's so real. Warriors, the most ridiculous reality in sports.
True.
Like, you literally went from the top to the bottom, and it's really because life comes at you fast.
Yeah.
And now the reality is, yeah, Steph and Clay are hurt. This team will still be a good basketball team, but even if they were playing, the reality probably still would have hit. They probably would still be hovering around the 5-8 seed range, no longer of the 1-2-3 conversation, right?
I think that this team can... I firmly believe that they can get back into contention, but I want to really quick talk about Pascal for a second because I'm interested in what you think of him, Nasher, because you love the NBA draft and kind of the player evaluation side of basketball, where Eric Pascal, to me, I'm not convinced yet. I need to see more. Granted, we're 27 games through the NBA season. I think that he has a lot ahead of him that he needs to prove first. I think Eric Paschal's best thing this so far this NBA season is his ability to get to the rack, right? And that doesn't always work in the NBA. Bully ball does not work 24/7. It's a different game. Teams were starting to see over these past couple of stretches where coaches and other players and defenses are starting to adapt to Eric Paschal's game. So to immediately, after 26 games or 27 games, whatever it is, throw Eric Paschal in as your starter for next season or your sixth man off the bench, I think is just a little lazy.
My guy in the 707 has been coming down on me for a while. This is a different 707.
Yeah. Oh.
He put in all cap, read minds. He want to make sure I read his. And I will. He's saying, not a contender, Clay, Steph, Dre, trade exception, Russell, Paschal off the bench, and Wiseman. Well, I didn't say they are not a contender. I said there's a chance maybe they're not. Now, when I use the word contender, I'm talking about right now in the NBA this season, I say there's maybe two or three teams that are legit contenders.
Real quick,
I guess I'll say, well, I'll say four because two on each side. The West is Lakers and Clippers because they're quote unquote light years ahead of the rest of the West. And in the East, because the East is so down, you got to say Milwaukee and you got to say Philly. I'm not going to consider you a contender if you're four,
Celtics?
Five, or six.
Not Celtics?
I can't fully buy any. I think they're still missing a true star, right? Mm. A true absolute star. And, I mean, another part of that, too, is are you super sure that they're going to have James Wiseman? Do we know who James Wiseman is? Do we know if they're keeping that pick? Mm. I will say there's a template on how you can get this team back to being a contender, and that's predicated on depth. Where'd they build this team? Strength in numbers. Use D'Angelo Russell. Use your trade exceptions. Maybe use this pick. Bring in more guys. You don't need to bring in more stars. The star talent is there. Granted, we got to hope that Steph and Clay come back to normal form, which I'm expecting they will. But there's still a lot of unknowns. So how can I say a team's a guaranteed contender when there's unknown?
But you know, building off that pick and all those things that you just listed out, all those essentially assets, right, that the Warriors could have next season, do you don't think they need to use those maybe to get a little younger? You think they should bring in depth or maybe another piece to contend for a championship right away? How they handle that, I think, is going to be kind of the biggest tell of what this front office believes that the Warriors can still do. Do they internally believe that they're going to be a contender?
Right. And there's just a lot of unknown. And it all starts with this. I really think it all starts with this pick. Because I don't think we're going to see D'Angelo Russell get moved. Tomorrow, actually, is the first day he can get traded. But just the way things are shaping out for them right now, he's in a situation where I don't know if his trade stock's super high. The contract's ugly. So I think the first move that we see is probably how they handle the pick. When we watch the NBA draft lottery, if they end up one or two, I mean, then the second the new season starts, which I believe is probably right when free agency begins, that's probably the first thing we're talking about.
And, you know, it's interesting because, Nasher, how this team has handled this season from start to finish, right? It's been very emotional. Like that guy said, the reality. It's almost like reality television, right? And what we're seeing kind of this season, like this portion of the season, right, with the Golden State Warriors is so close. But yeah, so far away from winning games and how they've handled it. And Steve Kerr, and you listen to the guys talk after the game. It's a struggle, man. Imagine that, Nasher, being so close in so many games. How many single-digit losses has this team racked up? And where they're either winning at some point in the season, you know, in the game, or whether they're down by a lot and cut it back later. And so, Whitley, I actually want to talk to you for a second because Whitley's there. She's at a lot of the games. She's I don't even, you know, it's. I almost feel like it's injustice to call her producer because of all the stuff she does.
She's pretty much filling in because we're down a couple producers right now. But Whitley serves a way bigger role for the station.
Yeah, and Whit, you're at a lot of the games and you're in the locker room and you kind of that vibe of the team. Is it hopeful? Is it depressed a little bit? I mean, how are they handling this? It's not only wins and losses, right? It's losing tough games. I mean, that all has an effect, and it seems like. You hear guys talk after the game, and it's like, we want to win. We want to win. We want to continue on. But is that hope going to break?
No, I mean, they're all very confident. And one thing that's really just stuck out to me is Draymond Green. Mm. We know he's always been a leader. Mm. But the way he's handling the situation this year, I mean, he's not used to losing. All the way back to high school, he has not lost.
Literally.
And so he's been taking on this different role. He's been more patient, you know, with the younger guys, really coaching him through this. And the vibe's very positive. Compare it to last year. Mm. These guys really like each other. Steve Kerr, everyone, they've said this. The vibe in that locker room is so good. And I think that will continue moving forward. So there is hope.
That's really surprising, though. I mean, you see a guy like Marquise Chriss last night walking off, tells Kareth Burke, we're just sick of losing. Well, but still, in the midst of all this, there's still a good vibe. They're actively trying to improve still.
And honestly, going back to just this last week when they were on that road trip, they come back home against Memphis and New York. Those are two games that you're probably looking like, hey, maybe we can string together our first win streak. Nasher, the Warriors are the only team in the NBA that haven't won two games in a row.
And I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's insane.
And I'm trying
to
have
the opportunity to play against the Knicks and the Memphis Grizzlies. And let's be honest, those were both drastically disappointing performances. And wait, you're still saying everything was fairly positive?
Yeah, very positive.
Yeah, I think how much does that to do with Steve Kerr?
Oh, 100% Steve Kerr. I've been saying this since the beginning of the season. He is the best coach for this situation. Steve Kerr is so patient, so positive. So he's really coaching this. You know, and if it's his fault, say there's a couple games that they've lost and he said he should have made a decision later on in the game, he takes full responsibility. So I think Steve Kerr is the best possible head coach for this team.
And it's really interesting, though, because Steve also has never lost in his career as a player or as a coach. Granted, there was a few stops in Cleveland and Orlando where not a full season, but it's just so ironic how he's set up for the situation. But when you're in the NBA luxury and you have the patience, like Whitley mentioned, that Steve Kerr has, you're built for this. And the text line's blown up. I mean, a lot of people are saying, this is all a blessing in disguise. Mm. And sure, I mean, it's a chance to get another very talented prospect, which I do want to talk about in a few minutes. When we get a chance, we'll talk about some of the prospects. But that kind of poses the question for me, do you bring in a guy that's ready to play right away that can help you win in the next 2-3 years? Or do you draft a guy that maybe down the road can be your star that's not necessarily ready to compete right now, but you know, in a couple years, can be a budding year-to-year star.
One of those type of guys. A guard where you look at the needs for this team so far, and they have a lot of, you would say, you know, they need that big man, that guy in the middle, a James Wiseman, a dude like that, where realistically at the top of the draft, it's very guard heavy. If we're looking already ahead to the 2020 lottery, it's a lot of guards, but you're really like, is that guy going to crack the rotation with Steph, Clay?
Well, we don't
D'Angelo.
Even know the rotation right
exactly.
now.
So it's probably going to do some switch up to force a guy into that. But I think if you make that pick, it shows that Bob Myers and Joe Lacob, are they really looking at these next couple seasons saying, hey, are we going to really win this year? Are we going to win a championship in 2021, something like that. But it's weird to me because how the chameleon that Steve Kerr has turned into this season, and I'm going to kind of keep praising him because that's been the biggest takeaway from this year. It's not Eric Paschal. It has been the coaching and the leadership of Steve Kerr, because think about, it's almost two different jobs of what he served this season, right? Think about last year. Let's be honest, his job was more importantly than drawing up X's and O's was more about managing personalities, right? Being the leader and being able to listen to all these guys and kind of handle what Draymond Green is saying, what Kevin Durant's saying, you know, dealing with how to use Steph Curry and things like that and find a way to get these guys shots and stuff like that. Where this season, it's development, right? It's teaching these guys what Warriors basketball is. And I think if you're watching the games, you can kind of see things here and there that you go, okay, like that's a positive sign, where if it was just bad and they're getting blown out by 20 and it's turnovers and dysfunction and no effort, then you're like, wow, is Steve Kerr our guy to lead us into this new era of Warriors basketball? I think he firmly is.
Well, and it's also a learning curve for Steve Kerr. I mean, last year and years prior, late in games, we mentioned the Warriors have lost a lot of close games this year. Kerr, for the previous 4 or 5 years, late in games, always let the guys just play. He never called the timeout and designed plays. And this year, he tried doing that, and obviously these guys are not experienced enough for that. And now Steve Kerr is learning how to handle close games late when it's in his control. It's no longer KD, Steph, Clay, go do your thing. But, I mean, it's still going to be tough because we don't know who's going to be on the roster next year past Steph, Clay, Dre. And I'm still on the fence about, I don't know if D'Lo's for sure going to be here or not. Looney's tied down. I mean, the whole rotation is going to change, and it's a matter of what you do with this pick. That's going to define the rotation. Yeah. A great text come in from the Chilton Lobby text line. We need men, not 19-year-old kids, and that's true.
Do you need that young guy to be your piece going forward? If Steph and Clay and Draymond continue to age, do you need to use this pick to secure that guy right now? So if you want to be competitive,
worse. When your window's here.
True, I agree.
I mean,
with
maybe
you're
trying to sustain it like the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah,
but I mean, they obviously
are they trying to find that Kawhi, that guy that you know can help lead them to that next era?
Who ironically left, but yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's tough. I mean. I think I agree with the text line. Mm. I mean, I think you do got to probably bring in some talented guys that have been veterans.
By the way, text line straight popping from Sonoma State people out there. If you're out there from Sonoma
you're
State.
You're a 707 guy, right?
I am. That's why we always have the 707 popping off on the text line.
You're like a local celeb up there?
Nah.
You've been a mainstay, though.
I just rep hard for the North Bay, baby.
And we have shout out.
Well, we have a lot of East Bay representation. We have a lot of San Francisco representation at this station. So when you know the 707 here's another born and bred guy out there, they show up. They show out. That's how we roll out there
well,
in the North Bay.
Plug your 707. Plug of the night. What do they got going on?
No,
there
Oh, it's a historic night we were talking about. It's historic a big game. Night. So there's actually two state championships going on in Sonoma County for football this weekend. Two teams: Rancho Cotati, Cardinal Newman High School. Both of them are playing in the state right now. I actually don't know how they're doing. I know it was like Cardinal Newman, who's like perennial kind of dominant in Sonoma County. They're playing El Camino, and it was 7-7 last time I checked. I don't know how Rancho is doing. That's a little bit of a surprise.
Well, shout out the 707. We
love a little high school football. And someone texted in earlier
In San Francisco won state tonight.
Lincoln. I played Lincoln in high school when I played football in Santa Rosa.
So congratulations to Lincoln High.
Yeah, congratulations to them.
It's awesome. It's a good time of the year. We got
you
NFL.
Love your high school football. Nash is a diehard high school football guy. We'll go to a high school game to just watch some high school Friday night lights.
I actually haven't done that, but I would love to go. Like when there's talented prospects, I would. Now back
if we weren't on the air tonight, we would be at one of these games though for sure.
Oh, I would 100%. Or I'd throw it on the TV.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in a world where it's. Like my dad, me and my brother, like high school football was our everything.
Yeah.
And like that's why I have a foundation of love for NFL.
And you got
and
the shrine
football.
Back at the house. I've seen it back home in LA.
Yeah.
Your pops shows off the little Solomon high school football
shrine. The
Solomon
shrine, we got it.
Yeah.
It is a good time of the year for sports. It's like that
scene from Meet the Parents, like 8th place, 7th place, like Nash is buying all these awards and kind of like.
Damn.
It's a
good time of the year,
though.
This is the time where we get all these state championships. I mean, you got a lot of parents out there that get to see these kids playing big time games.
Yeah.
Our very own Tim Jordan, our operation manager.
Yeah.
His son played here, I believe, at Reardon. They played in a big time playoff game a couple weeks ago. Now the season obviously
and,
didn't go.
And
as
his daughter, Sonoma State product. We went to college together.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah. And TJ was talking about. I mean. High school football is big here.
Yeah.
And you got the Niners balling right now.
Yeah.
You have the Warriors in a tough spot, but they've been great for years. We got the Raiders last home game tomorrow. I mean, it's a good time in sports to focus just on that.
And, you know, quickly going back to Warriors before we kind of completely veer off of it is I want to ask Witt about this too. Marquise Chris, man, he might be my favorite player to watch this season over Akai Bowman, any of these other players on the roster. I personally believe that Chris, this guy, does he deserve to be a starter, Witt?
Oh, for sure, especially over Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, last night, they both played 23 minutes. Willie Cauley-Stein had 0 points. Mm. And Chris, he had a double-double, 12 points, 13 rebounds. And against the Knicks, he had a double-double. I think he definitely deserves to be in the starting lineup. And, I mean, there's a reason, Steve's also said this, there's a reason he was drafted 8th overall.
Yeah, and honestly, kind of...
I would love to have the floor on Marquise Chris in a second about his time with the Suns when you have a chance.
Okay, but I want to ask you this, Nasher, because just from the basketball element, you can throw – if you didn't show me a box score of Marquise Chris, of a specific stats of what he had these last two games, I would have thought he would have scored like 20 points, 20 rebounds. Just because of the energy and – how he was on the floor as kind of the main guy, not necessarily the primary scorer, but cleaning up, being a garbage man, blocks, energy, running up and down the floor, flying around the rim, trying to dunk on guys, bringing a little bit of swagger that almost only a Draymond Green can necessarily match, where it had a little bit of shades of a JaVale McGee when JaVale was balling at his top level. And you look at Marquise Chris, he's 22 years old, Nasher. This is a guy where I see if he develops this season – that this is a guy where you go, all right, this might be a piece going forward.
It's tough because, I mean, he was miserable in Phoenix, and that's a product of a bad situation. And I think people are writing him off really quick.
Mm.
I mean, Marquise Chris, honestly, in college wasn't even that great either. He was
Shout out the Dobbs.
Yeah, he was a freakish athlete. And it literally wasn't until the week of the 2016 NBA draft that he now is starting to be coined as a lottery pick. And then the morning of reports coming out, he's going to be a top 10 pick. Then they're starting to connect him and the Suns, and the Suns are going to get Dragan Bender because these guys are going to have versatility, could defend all five positions. Now, Marquise Chris is a way different player than back then. Back then, he was trying to shoot threes. They were running a lot of them just on lobs. Now he looks like a true center.
He looked confused on the defensive end of the floor in Phoenix, too. He did not look like where he knew where to be on the defensive side. Very, very confused. I don't see that from him much as a Warrior.
He was very skinny back then. He bounced around a few different teams. He never had a fair chance. And now
Cleveland, Houston.
He's big. He looks like an NBA center.
He's grown. I mean, he's 22, Nasher.
Yeah.
He's your age.
But the thing is, I don't know if he can be a foundational piece for years to come. I guess that's what this year's all about.
If there was something
to watch in this season, Marquise Chris is one of them, probably.
I think maybe not a foundational piece, but a piece on a championship team.
A piece on a so he has to be in the 7-8-man rotation?
Yes, yes.
So you're telling me the Warriors last year could have used him in the finals?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Of course, the depth that he could have brought. The energy. This guy's turned into an energizer. Right, Whit? I mean, he brings a little bit of a different element to the floor for the Warriors, where to me, that's exciting. That's the type of guy you need. You need – last year, they lacked that energy, that youth off the bench, a little burst from time to time. You were dependent
on – But didn't Looney do that for you?
Not like Marquise Chris can be. Not the high flying. It's a different side. And I think that what the Raptors showed last year was the depth, the different types of players that can come in an effective game in certain minutes, not long extended run. Where I think Marquise Chris, you give him 12 minutes, whatever the case may be at times. And I think he's going to play some solid minutes. And especially if you put stars around him, I think he's going to play better.
Nash and I, we were talking before the show, and one thing, it's just if he can stay consistent. I think he's consistently been better than Willie Cauley-Stein this season.
Yeah, he's been a disappointment, man.
Oh, he has. Another thing I'd like to point out about Chris, though, is his attitude. You know, before this, when he was with the Suns and stuff, he did get a reputation for having a bad attitude, wasn't a great teammate, and it could not be completely opposite with the Warriors. I mean, he's been an incredible teammate. Everyone loves playing with him, so... I don't know. I think he's a jury.
Yeah,
I think that's Draymond Green.
They're definitely there than that.
I think that's Draymond Green, man. I think that's the element that he brings to an organization. That's why you never want to get rid of a guy like that.
Yeah, it's just tough because right now we're looking at these guys almost with fogged goggles, right? Like we're looking at them.
Fogged goggles. That's like my entire life. I'm a glasses man myself. So
then you'll get this analogy perfect. Yeah. We're looking at it just for the situation right now. So like you can only see what's up close and personal, right? When you have your foggy sunglasses, right? Tommy, your foggy everyday glasses.
Yeah.
I don't really know how my opinion will be on a lot of these guys once I see all when the band's back together. And keep in mind, like there's gonna be a lot of moving parts. I mean, the D'Lo rumors will continue to flood through. The top five pick will continue to be a conversation. And I mean, the inevitable, in my opinion, that maybe not right now, maybe not next year, but I think at some point, Draymond Green's going to be put on the trade block. But I do think they want to...
Don't go down this road.
But before the text line blows up, I mean, my guy in the 707's been on me all night. And I appreciate you for listening. You've given us some good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to trade him before they get a chance to see him with Steph and Clay. And they're going to try running that back again. But at some point, maybe... Wait. The next trade deadline that's not this basketball season would be 2021. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if he was on the trade block.
Yeah, and honestly, so we have a text. I don't even know if I can acknowledge that right now because I'm still stuck in my Chris bag where someone on the text line from the 925 saying he doesn't have the IQ to implement his athletic talent on, you know, a meaningful playoff minutes, things like that. And no way he can be the seventh or eighth man. Where if you haven't, that just kind of shows I don't think you've ever seen Marquise Chris's career or if you've watched him this season with the Warriors, because I think you're easily, Nasher, you watched his career with Phoenix. You've seen him now with the Warriors. You produce Warrior games here. Tell me at the bottom of it, he's at least became a smarter player.
He has become a better player, but I'm still
smarter. Smarter.
Yeah, that's a given.
No doubt, right?
He was in awful situations. Yeah. But I still can't say he's in the 7-8-man rotation. I will name every single team that's in the play. Right now, he's not even a 7-8-man rotation guy in Phoenix.
Well, I think he could be a backup center. I think he could play, I guess JaVale started.
Well, in the world we live in, nobody plays a backup center. You kind of just bring in another four.
Let's look at when the Warriors winning championships and they have Zaza and JaVale. That's what was their 1-2 in the big man rotation. You're telling me that Marquise Chris can't bring what JaVale brought?
Probably not.
Really? Where I think JaVale
and
was,
JaVale also didn't
JaVale
play
was
in big
bad
time
defensively.
I don't think he played in big time finals.
True,
minutes.
But I'm saying you need a guy like that on your
he
team.
He might not even play playoff minutes.
I'm pretty sure he did.
I mean, maybe early rounds, but they faded away from him pretty quickly. I mean, the only team that's still running a lot of bigs right now is the Lakers, and it's because their front court's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Shout out Dwight.
It's just such a bummer that the Warriors and Lakers can't be good at the same time, man. It's so frustrating. Like, I pray next year that both teams, like, the Lakers run it back and the Warriors are fully healthy so we can see that rivalry, man. I would love to do that. Clay,
it's going to be tough.
You just scoffed at me right there. Like, yeah,
it's going to be tough when we see him. But really, I guess,
listen to anything that he says.
Yeah,
Draymond always listens to us.
No, you don't.
I guess it won't be that tough to see him at their peak. I mean, next year, are we going to consider the Warriors the top five in the West? Because then that would be like a battle for battle. But if the Warriors are like the 2019 version, I guess 2021 version of what the Blazers were last year, but that's the Warriors next year, that's not really... They're both at their peak.
I think
if
they're competing for if we get a Lakers, LeBron, Warriors, Steph playoff series,
ooh,
I
like
think
a 2-7.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing. I mean, that would be awesome. Obviously, the Warriors being the 2 and the Lakers being the 7. Let's be honest.
So, few teams right now in the playoff hunt, Tommy. I'm going to ask you if Marquese Chriss cracks the 7-8-man rotation.
Dude, I'm talking about for the Golden State Warriors where you have Steph and Klay and Draymond running around. There's a massive difference between how a big. We've seen it year in and year out for guys like Zaza.
Let's just run the exercise. Let's do the exercise.
And Andrew Bogut and guys like that. The athletic ability, he's 22 years old.
This exercise might help your case. The Los Angeles Lakers, is he in the 8-man rotation?
Probably not because they're pretty deep when it comes to big men.
The Los Angeles Clippers.
Who's their big right now? Harrell? No, he's not cracking. Harrell comes off the bench, right? He's not.
And Zubac starts, but he plays in small minutes. And Lou Will's obviously coming off the bench. And then they're probably like Ray Magruder is another guy.
But that's one of the deep, maybe the best benches in the NBA.
Oh my goodness.
The Clippers? Yeah.
Historically, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I got a hot take for you right now.
Okay.
Because people are going to say it's the Warriors. What Jerry West did this year for this Clippers from top to bottom, not star power, top to bottom, the greatest constructed roster in NBA history. At any given moment, let me state my case. At any given moment, there's one of the best threats in the NBA.
All right. Are you high right now?
No, a Kawhi and Paul George tandem. Or let me ask you this, Bobby. Do you know what the most effective pick and roll tandem in the NBA is? They both come off the bench.
Harrell and Lou Will.
Yeah. And they were in 8 seed last year competing with the Warriors.
That's spicy. We're 26 games in, dude. That's spicy.
And I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah, I think that's a little spicy.
You got two guys that were MVP candidates last year. You got arguably two of the greatest bench players in NBA history that are on the same team together.
A bench tandem?
Sure, bench tandem is a better way of wording it. Lou Will's already the greatest bench player ever, maybe, right? I mean,
in my lifetime, he's definitely one of the best.
Lamar Odom's in there too, but he that's tough. All right, let's keep going to the exercise.
He was on crack.
The Mavericks, you might have
a hell of a drug.
The Mavericks,
the Mavs. Is he making the maybe?
They're third in the West.
Is that Dwight Powell?
They got Boban Marjanovic, who doesn't play.
I'm probably giving Marquese Chriss some minutes
Maxi
over those
Kleba.
Guys.
I don't. It's just the way their offense runs. Like, they do need a big that can shoot. Houston. Already tried that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Denver.
No.
Because Jokic, Plumlee.
How they play there, too, is a little bit different of a style.
Utah.
Ooh. He'd be pretty nice coming off the...
Who's their first big off the bench? So you got Gobert.
Yeah.
And then, like, Royce O'Neal, they go small ball. I don't know.
Because it used to be Favors, but he's not there anymore.
Oklahoma City's the 7 seed. Is he cracking that 8-man rotation?
Probably.
The NBA is so bad this year.
Yeah, it's down.
In the East, Milwaukee, no. Sixers, no. Miami, no. Celtics,
what I mean by that is I think playing in the system of Golden State, playing there with a year, Steve Kerr, everything like that, where, let's be honest, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, the conversation would be, you're probably cutting Marquese Chriss to keep Kai Bowman. The fact that he's kind of erased that, where I think you probably trade Alec Burks as soon as you can, as soon as that clock runs out for Kai Bowman, and you keep Kai and you keep Marquese Chriss over an Alec Burks. And I think that, next season, I would really like to see if Chriss continues at this pace and he can stay consistent, I would love to see him playing with Steph and Draymond and Klay. And maybe a top pick or just off the bench where Klay is that leading scorer on the bench next to D'Lo, things like that. Where D'Lo, incredible pick and roll type of player, could he develop that with Marquese Chriss? We're going to have a whole year to see it.
Yeah, and I mean, he still is so raw and so young. But I mean, I guess... The expectations you're setting for him aren't super high. I mean, a 7-8-man rotational guy, that's not completely terrible.
Mm.
You mentioned you had a fun little segment, wanted to. Did you ever get that together?
Yeah, I got us together. Are you ready to go? Bob, we got some music? All right, so I wanted
to
ask...
Any type of bet, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Hit the bed real quick.
He came in ready.
So it's an established thing in radio, these end of the show type of segments where we kind of clean up the board, right? Where we look at everything. And, you know, my boy Nash on Twitter, is it Nash the Crash still on Twitter?
It's at Nash the Crash, yeah, two E's in the.
So I want to ask you, Nash, you're a hot take bringer. Let's be honest. You spit some fire from time to time. You're an opinionated guy. So I want to know, Nasher, on these just couple of just random subjects, are you Nashing or are you crashing?
So Nash would be, I agree. I'm taking that hot take, crashing them out.
Yeah. So
I like this, by the way.
Yeah, today is a weird day in football fans, sports fans, things like that, where I'm so used to turning the TV on at 6 in the morning. I'm an early riser. I like to wake up very early. 6 in the morning, I got my college game day. I got my coffee rolling, things like that. And this morning, you wake up, it's all gone. College football season, the regular season is over.
I had nothing to do.
Except
Army Navy.
Army Navy. Nash, are you Nashing? You crashing on Army Navy?
This is an unfair question because I'm gonna have all of America very disappointed in me. I'm crashing. I'm out on it.
Yeah, because I'm interested. Why?
It's a cool game. Has a historic rivalry.
Yeah, the atmosphere is amazing.
But to be honest with you, I mean, I've never been to the game. Our guy Rick Tittle's been out there every year. Yeah. We got a buddy that we're close with that we used to work with. He goes every year and it's great. I've never been to the actual game, so maybe my opinion would change. But I'm crashing on it because the whole aura around the game is not predicated on the actual sport. It's about what the two academies have done for our country.
But it's like a pageantry type of thing that I think that it's just, I think it's fun to take in. It's something that we do every single year. And I love the uniforms, too. I love those special editions.
I think I'm crashing on it because we make it the standalone game when season ends. It's the only game we have to watch.
Yeah.
It's a cool rivalry, but I can't come out and say it's fantastic.
Okay. All right. So we're going to be moving on here, and it's something that we haven't talked about for a long time. It's just it's a joy to talk about on the radio, but baseball free agency. This time last year, Nasher, we were hating on it, right? It was dead. Bryce Harper, these guys, they're not signing. Why? It seems like somebody from the top of the MLB was like, hey, we need to get these deals rolling time and time again. And now some deals are starting to pop. You have guys signing on a daily basis. You're refreshing Twitter to see where guys are going. Nash, are you Nashing? I don't know how to ask you this. I'm just going to say, are you Nashing or are you crashing on MLB free agency this year?
I'm Nashing. We got player movement.
Yeah.
Player mobility saved the NBA for the offseason. It put NBA in a category where it was a 12-month season. Now, there weren't games, obviously, all the months, but the NBA's turned into 2K. We love seeing movement. We love seeing all these deals happen. Now, I will say, a lot of these deals are super long-term, right? I mean, what, Rendon's, did he get 10 years?
I'm not sure, but I know it's definitely a deal now. Oh, man, I just got a text from our boy Covey. Look at your phone. Are you Nashing or are you crashing on Ryan Covey's take right now?
Apparently, he thinks we're bootlegging Puff Puff Pass. Let me tell you.
I'm a real lamenter of Ryan Covey.
Every show in radio has these type of gimmicky segments.
Yeah.
Buying or selling with our old friend that used to work here.
Yeah.
We got when Puff
Steven,
Puff Pass.
When Steven and I do it, we call it good, nice call, bad call.
Hey, I think this one worked. Our guy that's texting in all show, he said Nashing or passing. But I'm coughing Puff Puff Pass. I'm not going to do that.
We're Nashing or we crashing.
But I'm in on MLB free agency right now. Player movement's good. I mean, it's bringing more attention back to the sport that had the least amount of attention amongst the major sports.
Well, and the thing is Nasher, is we look at all the other major sports, right? NFL free agency. Honestly, one of my favorite days of the year. I love taking in all the news, where guys are going. I have the notifications on for Shefty, Rap Sheet, Jay Glazer, even the NBA free agency, right? Nasher, you got Woj, you got your Woj notifications on
all year long.
All those things. All year long?
All year long.
Wow.
All year long. I don't want to miss anything.
I gotcha. Well, still, but like Shams, all those guys, right? You want to hear that stuff. You're exciting for those things. You have television. Where MLB, they have their own name for it. Hot Stove. Very crispy name.
Yes.
Sounds exciting, but the last couple of years have been absolutely boo-boo. So the fact that this season they're finally having some fun with all that, I'm with you. I'm Nashing on it. Can I be Nashing too? Is it
yeah,
only
of course.
Bobby gives me the thumbs up.
It's either calling or falling.
There you go. I got you. All right. So next up here on the little Nashing or are we crashing? Joe Burrow, Heisman. We talked about it a little bit here. It's you know, we haven't spent a lot of time on it, but Joe Burrow as your Heisman Trophy winner, who is older than Lamar Jackson, are you Nashing or you're crashing on Joe Burrow winning the Heisman?
I mean, I mentioned it earlier. I was a fan of Justin Fields. I think I liked what he did. I felt like they were the most buttoned-up team in the country. Mm. That also goes back to my Jimmy debate, why he's not an MVP candidate, because everyone around him is great. I'm going to gnash in on him being the MVP. Because, you know, Joe Burrow, like we mentioned it earlier, I was kind of hating on his age. But, I mean, the dude's bounced around from school to school, and he's obviously put LSU on the map. Yeah. From the quarterback position that nobody's done since Jamarcus Russell. And Jamarcus Russell, say what you want, Oakland Raider fans, he was miserable there. One of the greatest college football players to ever step on a football field.
Oh, wow. I think Joe Burrow is clearly better than him.
And that puts so much merit in what I just said, right?
Yeah, a phenomenal one-year season. I don't know.
Well, and college football is tough because Cam had an incredible one-year stunt.
If you're a 49er fan or a Raider fan or a general football fan that doesn't follow college football, right, you may know who Joe Burrow's name from seeing it on SportsCenter, things like that. Spend 5 minutes watching some Coach O, Joe Burrow fan, you'll be buying an LSU t-shirt. I mean, easily some of the most likable players in college sports or sports overall, from a coach to a quarterback that I can ever remember. I mean, my dad, me, we're full on the LSU bandwagon right now. We love ourselves some Coach O and Joe Burrow.
They win in the college football playoffs.
I hope so. They have the best resume. I mean, they're knocking out some tough teams along
Huge
the road.
Huge favorite, too. I think it's like 13. Yeah.
Whew. I think another monster dog you could have gotten preseason too. I saw somebody tweet about it. You could have gotten them for 100%. A huge number. All right, last one here. I know we're wrapping up real quick. I know my guy Bobby, myself, is a big fan of it. Our boy Lucas Alexander, big fan.
It's a British Bake Off?
No.
Okay, thank God.
Stop it.
Thank
you
God.
Don't like you, wait, you're crashing on British Great British Bake Off?
Dude,
have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
I'm
but
out,
it's like,
man. Have a good night.
When I go hang out with my buddy Lucas, we want to go out, but he says, hey, we should stay in and watch the British Bake Off. Then I got a problem.
He does. He does like it. But anyways. I'm so off right now. I'm thinking about Great British Bake Off, which is a phenomenal show. If you haven't watched it, please watch it.
Kolsky loves it too.
Yeah, it's great. We're going to start a podcast.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
All right. So I do got to ask you, though, straight up. UFC, I know you've kind of waffled on. You're not a massive UFC guy.
Not massive.
But this...
I mean, I watched the McGregor stuff in his prime.
Yeah, so tonight there's 3 championship fights. Kobe Covington, a big main event. Max Holloway, a UFC superstar. One of the fattest cards they have put out in a long time. Honestly,
but it feels like it's 3 main events.
It is 3. Oh, exactly. Yeah, there's 3 championship fights on one card.
It doesn't feel like any undercard.
Yeah, this is one of the... And, you know, Uriah Faber, Sacramento legend. He is... He's probably fighting right now, right, Bobby? At this point, or already fought even. We haven't watched it yet. We're going to be watching it after the show on some TiVo or whatever. But Nash, are you going to be watching? Are you interested in this kind of thing at all?
I would be interested if we had it on. Like if I went somewhere with my buddies and ordered the fight.
Are you gnashing or are you crashing?
I have to crash because I'm not going to be home tonight.
Ooh.
One of my best friends in town, we're going out. We're celebrating that I get to see him. I don't get to see him often.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to be celebrating that. Now, however, if it was my ordinary Saturday night where I just go home and chill in my house, I definitely would have it fired up. My buddy would have his second TV in my room with all the Bovada live lines.
Ooh.
We want to hop on the fight live. I'd probably be texting for some... Ill-advised gambling advice?
My house growing up was the spot to watch the UFC. It was one of my favorite days of the year. My dad's friends, my friends, everybody.
And your house is now the place for Sunday football, much like mine back home.
Barbecuing, all that fun stuff.
It's been fun, Tommy.
It's been fun.
Tomorrow we got Raiders' last one in Oakland.
I guess I'm gnashing on the show, crashing on Nasher.
It happens.
Yeah.
Raiders' last one tomorrow. Niners got one with Atlanta. And we have the Warriors. The Kings are in town. A little 80 freeway battle.
Yeah.
Highway 80.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe so, if I'm right. He's Tom McCall. I'm Nash Solomon. Bobby Whitley, you guys are the best. We out.
Well, see you later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.